702
for the curious
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Welcome back to the program on 702. Professor Helen Rees, good morning and happy Saturday.
Good morning, Klaus, and thank you for having me.
So we are within the eye of the COVID storm here in South Africa. Before we unpack the numbers there, some very encouraging news coming out of the fight and drive to try and develop a vaccine for COVID-19, specifically the vaccine that's being developed at Oxford University.
Yes, indeed. In fact, since January, we've seen a scientific sort of splurge, if you like, of vaccine development, which we've never seen for any infection before. There are now nearly 200 vaccines in some stage of development, and over 20 are already in human trials, what we call clinical trials. The Oxford University vaccine has been tested in the UK, and those results came out this week. That was a study that looked at over 1,000 people, and very encouragingly, they found even after one dose of the vaccine that this vaccine was able to stimulate the two parts of the immune system that we would like to see stimulated if it's going to be successful in preventing a COVID-19 infection. So this is very good news.
And in terms of our own quest for a vaccine here in South Africa, we entered vaccine trials related to the Oxford vaccine. I suppose way too early to tell from a local point of view.
Yes. So this is the first of the vaccine trials that have been undertaken in South Africa. And in fact, this week, from three trial sites in Gauteng, we've now got trial sites also in the Western Cape as well, and more trial sites in Gauteng opening up. So the aim here is to look at the same vaccine, the Oxford vaccine, to enroll 2,000 people, including 50 people who are living with HIV, and to see whether this vaccine in our local populations is safe and is immunogenic. That's to say, does it stimulate the immune system in the same way that we've seen in the participants in the UK? So indeed, it's very exciting, but we're going to see other vaccines being tested in the weeks and months to come.
You've just joined us, Professor Helen Rees from the WITS Reproductive Health Institute, joining us on Weekend Breakfast. Any questions that you have for her, drop us a WhatsApp voice note or message to 072-702-1702. So let's try and unpack the numbers now, Professor Rees. We saw our biggest single day death spike this past Wednesday, 572 fatalities as a result of COVID-19. Some argue that it's because of delayed reporting out of the Eastern Cape, but nonetheless, frightening numbers there, and I suppose the surest proof yet that the peak is upon us.
Indeed, and as we know, that the provinces that are really badly affected at the moment are the Western Cape and Eastern Cape, but also Gauteng, but we're beginning to see the numbers going up in all the provinces. This is just a really nasty virus, and it is going to spread everywhere. The only thing we can do at the moment is these, what everyone's heard about, what we call the non-pharmaceutical interventions, and we've just got to really, really push them. This is incredibly important that people actually themselves, it's not about the president telling you to wear a mask. You must want to wear a mask. You must feel uncomfortable if you go out into a shop without a mask on. And if you see your elderly relatives don't have masks, we've really, as a community, got to actually own these interventions, because this is what we have at the moment. We won't have a vaccine until the end of, at the very earliest, probably the end of 2021.
Good Lord. So even if this blistering pace is being set in the search for a vaccine, it's still a very long way off. I've always wondered, you know, someone that is steeped in scientific tradition like you, you live and die by science. You can't argue against the facts of science. What's your response? What's your feeling when you see people trying to paint a picture of COVID-19 being the greatest hoax of the 21st century and saying that wearing a mask is a violation of my human rights?
It's very concerning. And I mean, I must say, when I've been out in the park, sometimes I very gently said to people, especially in big groups or walking closely together without masks, just, by the way, just think about wearing a mask because I think it's my public health duty to do it. But you can't keep saying that to people. It's not a hoax. I mean, if you've seen the MRC data that came out this week, we've got a really significant increase in what are called excess deaths. So you're able to predict, looking back last year and the year before, how many deaths from natural causes you would expect. And we're seeing thousands more deaths in all age groups, but particularly in older people, but in younger people as well. So this is no hoax. And interestingly, what we've also seen is some of the world leaders who initially were trying to say life must go on, downplay this. We've seen, for example, President Trump has really now changed his attitude towards wearing masks and is recognizing that the impact in the U.S., we've seen it in Brazil, in many of these countries now, where the leadership initially was hoping that this would go away, as we all did, is now recognized that this is an extraordinary burden on communities and on health services. And it's very real, and it's not going to go away quickly, unfortunately.
As we finish our conversation, Professor Rees, how do you explain the numbers, though? I mean, we have now over 400,000 confirmed infections in South Africa. We've burst into the top five in the world in terms of confirmed infections, 421,000. But if you look at the amount of deaths that we've had, Mexico, with some 40,000 less deaths than us, have 42,000 less cases than us, have an extremely higher death rate than South Africa. We've only experienced 6,300 deaths thus far. And really, if you look elsewhere, I mean, even the UK, they've got less than 300,000 confirmed cases, but have had 45,000 confirmed fatalities. How do we explain that?
Well, part of that might be to do with our demographic and our sort of age structure. That many of the developed countries have many older people, and the death rate definitely goes up over 60 and quite steeply once you get beyond 70 and 75. So if you have a population with many older people, that is one of the reasons. The second one is comorbidities. So if you have populations with high amounts of hypertension, diabetes, and obesity, those sorts of things are also going to drive the death rate up. So it could be that we have got more young people who are getting either mild symptoms or severe symptoms but are recovering. And so that might be part of the explanation. The other part of the explanation might be, and I think, you know, time will tell and we'll have a look at it. Remember, we had a hard lockdown, and one of the reasons for that was to say, can we ready our health services? We've seen that some provinces have been more successful and others less successful, as we've seen in the Eastern Cape, at readying the health services for this. But the fact that we gave ourselves some time to try and improve the bed numbers, access to oxygen, access to ventilators, access to PPE, all of those things might be a contributing factor. But we clearly, we're not exactly where we want to be in terms of health service readiness, but that could have contributed to a lessening in the death rate that we've seen. But it's probably going to find, it's going to be finally a mixture of demographic, background comorbidity, and how the health service was able to respond.
Well, really, the benefit of hindsight will always be something to look at when you try and explain this in the future, the advent of COVID-19, not only here in South Africa, but around the globe. Final question from me then, Professor. The fact that we have such a high HIV prevalence rate in South Africa, some 7 million confirmed cases, if memory serves correct, how has that been beneficial to our fight against COVID-19? We've deployed sort of the medical expertise that we have got together over the past two decades with our fight against HIV and AIDS. How has that benefited our own fight against COVID-19?
Well, I think in several ways. First of all, early on, if you remember, we were doing a lot of community testing and community outreach and tracing. And the HIV teams that have been developed in all of the provinces, in fact, were able to be deployed to actually go and do that testing, but also to do outreach to try and find and track people. So in that way, that has definitely helped. The second thing is that we had developed systems with the National Department of Health for getting chronic medication out to people, not only for HIV, but also for things like hypertension and diabetes, but chronic medication systems that involve people not having to go in every month to a clinic. And so those have been able to be deployed to keep people out of clinics, those chronic medication pickup points. And that has been a benefit. The third thing is that we've got an extraordinary research infrastructure. And we started off talking about vaccines. And many of those trial sites that are now doing the vaccine trials and will do more vaccine trials in future, in fact, have learned their craft of how to do these community-based studies with large numbers through being able to do HIV trials and in some cases TB vaccine trials as well. So I think there are many ways in which we have been able to utilize our the knowledge and the health service and the research infrastructure and turn it to very good effect quite quickly in response to COVID.
Professor Helen Rees, thank you very much for your time on 702, one of the country's foremost scientists, giving us a bit of insight in South Africa's fight against COVID-19. Overarching message I got from her there was don't allow your guard to drop now, especially as the infections peak in the country.